Morning, everybody. Welcome to our service of Holy Communion. Today is the fifth Sunday after Easter. And as the weather is getting better, the wedding season has started, so we have some bans. So I publish the bans of marriage between Jack Christopher Ballinger, single of the parish of St. Luke's in Maidenhead, and with a qualifying connection to this parish, and Annie Louise Maxted, also single, also of St. Luke's in Maidenhead, and also with a qualifying connection to this parish. If any of you know any reason why they may not be joined together in holy matrimony, you are to declare it now. So our service is a normal service, but throughout this morning, we will be acknowledging yesterday's coronation. We have special prayers, which Tim will be leading, which have been authorised by the Church of England. We will sing the national anthem at the end. We will sing the first verse only, if that's okay, to avoid any embarrassment. But yesterday, it was a historic moment in the life of our nation and our Commonwealth, and Charles was the 40th monarch to be crowned at the Abbey since the coronation of William the Conqueror. I watched the whole thing, and it struck me that the coronation service is explicitly Christian, and it's a powerful reminder of the way that the Christian story has profoundly shaped our culture. All the essential elements that we saw yesterday date back to the crowning of King Edgar in the year 973. In that service, as in yesterday's, there was a procession, there were oaths, there was an anointing, an investiture, all followed by Holy Communion. The tradition of anointing kings with oil is grounded in the Old Testament, where you'll find Samuel anointed by Saul. In yesterday's service, following the invocation of the Holy Spirit, Charles prepared for his anointing in the middle of Handel's Zadok the priest. Now, during that anthem, Charles was relieved of all of his robes, his ornaments of state, anything that made him king. And these were all replaced with a simple, sleeveless white garment, and he was anointed by holy oil by the Archbishop of Canterbury. Now, that act of consecration was the most sacred part of that service. But what about us? We might not be a king or a queen. We might not even like the idea of a monarchy in a modern democracy. But the coronation gives us an opportunity to reflect on our own relationship with God. So during our time together this morning, in this place, as we sing praises to God, we pray to God, we hear God's word, and we receive the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. We have an opportunity to reflect that before God, we stand alone without any of our worldly goods. We play to an audience of one. We are ultimately accountable to God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, not the world's media, not a nation, not a boss, customers, shareholders, neighbours or friends. And also reflect on the fact that we are all disciples of Jesus, and as such, are each anointed by God. As it says, you'll read in Ephesians, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit for a task. And that task is for each one of us to make the invisible God visible by what we do and the way we do it, to show the world that there is a better way of being human, a way that looks like Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So before we do anything else, let's just take a moment of quiet to prepare ourselves for as much contact with God as we would wish for, because all we have to do is ask. A moment of quiet. We'll sing our first hymn. Hymn number 79, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. So we meet this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We sit on you. We say together the prayer of humble access. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. As we say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the collect prayer for today, the fifth Sunday of Easter. O Lord, from whom all good things do come, grant to us, thy humble servants, that by thy holy inspiration we may think those things that be good, and by thy merciful guiding may perform the same. Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. If you'd like to sit, we have our readings from Scripture.
The first reading is taken from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7, beginning to read at verse 55. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is taken from Peter's first letter to the church, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 2. "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In a moment, Mary will be preaching for us, but before that, we'll sing that great hymn of praise, "O Praise Ye the Lord," hymn number 445.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John, chapter 14, starting at the first verse. "I am the way and the truth and the life. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you, that where I am you may be also. and you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the way. Show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Take my words, Lord, and use them to your will. Amen. Please sit down. As Graham has already pointed out, yesterday was a hugely significant day. And I've never seen a coronation before, and it was just spellbinding is not quite the right word, but it was truly amazing. In the actual run-up to the coronation, the Dean of Westminster, David Hoyle, is quoted as saying that the stress and accent of this service has shifted us slightly from obedience to the monarch to the monarch's commitment to service and faithfulness. And certainly in the course of that service yesterday, that is something that became very apparent. And for me, there was something humbling, if not unsettling, and slightly troubling in watching the king, a man who we have known all our lives in various different situations and in a different apparel, stripping down almost to his underwear, and in the course of that coronation, the ritual, the anointing, and looking very, very vulnerable. And that sort of brings forth a number of questions. And as Christians, there was a lot there that we could obviously identify with. But the parameters of our monarchy today are a three-way covenant between God, monarch, and the people, in which the monarch rules by consent, answerable to the people as much as to God. Now, nowhere is it specifically said that kingship is a ministry of public service, and yet that monarch as servant increasingly became an index theme for the late queen and has also now been taken up by the king. Now, as we know, serving others is a feature of Christian discipleship. Being served and serving creates a dynamic of mutuality or affinity and respect, which enriches and sustains the organisation of human society. And the coronation service put these two qualities together. Also was of note was the almost passive role that the king actually played in the whole service. He was silent throughout the vesting, crowning, and enthronement. He became king, obviously, by an accident of birth, and the coronation is something that has happened to him as part of that. Although at some point he could obviously have said, "No, I'm not going to do this," but he hasn't. The wording of the oaths and the inserted prayer give voice to his response, a commitment to serving his people. So that emphasis on serving rather than being served draws strong parallels, obviously, with those of Christ, who provides the model, the blueprint of humble leadership that our King has clearly pledged to follow. So what exactly are those qualities of a servant leader or a servant king? Now, leadership wasn't a new concept when Jesus came along, but he did rather flip the narrative of leadership on its head. People didn't expect that at all. And in Matthew, this is what Jesus said about leadership. You know that the rulers in the world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be a servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So in Christ, the goal of our leadership is not to grab power, but to serve. And there are six different qualities to keep in mind. One of these is integrity. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. And that's written in Proverbs. As a servant leader, perhaps the most important quality is integrity. It's the foundation on which all other leadership qualities are built. And Proverbs is a reminder that Jesus calls us to walk in the ways of righteousness and justice, and our actions should reflect our faith. If we are true servant leaders, we can't cheat, lie, and manipulate our way to the top. We are called to do something much different and entirely countercultural, to be honest. Jesus tells us to humble ourselves and live lives with integrity. Whereas the world is telling us to do what it takes to achieve success and acclaim at any cost to anyone else. So Jesus tells us to humble ourselves and live lives with integrity, with honesty and good character. Now clearly we will stumble from time to time and fall short because we are human. But in acknowledging our wrongdoings and asking God's guidance and forgiveness, we know that we can get up and try again. Secondly, is one of humility. In Colossians it writes, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. And one of the most difficult things for us to admit is that we don't know it all. With the internet at the tip of our fingers, it's very easy to become an expert in anything with a couple of hours of careful observation on what you can find. And it can also be easy to isolate ourselves in a bubble of self-knowledge or to find ourselves in an echo chamber. So if we're not careful, we can become too prideful. It can be easy to be addicted to power and authority attached to being that of a leader. So as a Christian servant leadership, we have to be willing to learn from and listen to those we lead because we know that they have worth and value. The truth is they might actually have better ideas than we do or a perspective that we don't or hadn't thought about. Then we have flexibility. Servant leaders practice flexibility. They're willing to adapt to their situations and surroundings. They recognise that life can throw them into unexpected situations or challenges. But instead of allowing those unexpected events to cause anger, confusion, or panic, servant leaders recognize that God is present in every circumstance. They have the willingness to practice being flexible and actually invite change. Next one up is resilience. And in Hebrews it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So if you set that in the context of running, and there is the fun run coming up fairly soon, the first two verses of Hebrews 12 define a life of resilience. And it's a quality that comes from building up spiritual endurance to the point where you're actually thriving in challenging situations. So if you have ever trained for a race, perhaps you've done the London Marathon, I certainly haven't, no intention of doing so, you know that endurance doesn't just happen overnight. It takes a lot of effort. And initially you have to trick your body into liking long distances. You run short distances first and then build up to longer ones. You get blisters and you take water breaks, but eventually you will run further and further for longer. Life will always have challenges, fights we cannot win, mountains we just can't climb. But resilience in the Christian life can only happen when we look to Jesus. Then we have stewardship. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. That's in 1 Peter. God's given so many different spiritual gifts to his people. Could you imagine what life would be like if everyone thought, looked, and acted the same? The world would be so dull. So while being good stewards of our finances is definitely something God wants us to do, that's not the only thing that we can steward. And very often we tend to think of money first, but the definition of the word is the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. So that encompasses most things, including this planet. So a servant leader sees people as valuable to God and stewards their time and talents well. And this kind of leader calls out what is good and true about the people they lead, giving them instruction and encouragement in how to serve God well. A servant leader uses their time for God's glory, not their own. And the final one is empathy. And in Romans it's written, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Think about what it means to have a person truly empathize with you during a struggle. Some are willing to hold your hand in those dark moments. Empathy for a servant leader is simply being able to visualize yourself in someone else's position. It helps you to understand what someone's feeling. And it's a key aspect of leadership. It's very easy to get hyper-focused on tasks and the work that we have to do. Work is important in accomplishing goals too. But if we're not careful, we can begin to see people as problems to be solved rather than human beings to be loved. A servant leader can see people through the eyes of Jesus, and that's the kind of leader that others follow. When we're able to take time out of our day to empathize with those around us and put ourselves in their shoes, we become more like Jesus. Whenever Jesus encountered someone who was hurting or in need of encouragement, he looked at them and had compassion for them, and then he acted. So with all that in mind, it's quite a full list. And I think the thing, taken from a historical point of view, you have to remember that much of the coronation services put together was reenacted after the restoration of the monarchy, after it had a time of the Stuarts, who had sort of rather misapplied rule. But it seems as though these days the monarchy is required to stand in a much higher position than perhaps our politicians. And it would be quite useful for us, I think, if our politicians took a note of what happened yesterday and applied that to the governance of the country. So leadership might well seem intimidating. The king humbling himself before God and before us as our servant king evoked the question for me as to whether I am worthy of the pledge that he gave. And so perhaps if we'd like to take the prayer that is on our pew sheet this week, I think we should actually pray the prayer that we have there for the king. So Almighty God, the fountain of all goodness, bless our sovereign Lord, King Charles, and all who are in authority under him, that they may order all things in wisdom and equity, righteousness and peace. To the honour of your name and the good of your church and people, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you.
It's my privilege to lead us through the authorised intercessions for 7th of May 2023. Almighty God, you reign over all things in wisdom, power, and love. Hear our prayers, which we offer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For Charles, our King, that you may pour upon him abundant gifts to help him fulfill the promises made at his coronation. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear
that he will have the grace, wisdom, and strength to live a life of service to you and to his people. For Camilla, the Queen Consort, William, Prince of Wales, the Princess of Wales, and all the royal family, that they may love and support the King as he bears the burden of his office. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for all who serve our local community. May they be ambassadors of goodwill, building friendships and cooperation. Lord, in your mercy, we ask your blessing on our homes and families, on our schools, children and young people. May our neighborhoods be places of hospitality, peace and trust. Lord, in your mercy. We ask for your blessing on our homes and families, on our schools, children, young people. May our neighborhoods be places of hospitality, peace and trust. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for older people in our community, and especially the isolated and housebound, that they may be known, honored, and cherished. Lord, in your mercy. We commend to your care the sick and vulnerable, and all who may be in despair. May the joy of our nation's celebration renew them in heart and mind. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all who come to this place of prayer, whether in times of joy or sorrow. Find it a place of healing and hope. Transform our lives by your grace, and as you have called us to your service, make us worthy of our calling. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Tim. As you're able, would you all please stand? So before God and one another, we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, as we say together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Christ has gone to prepare a place for you, that you may be able to abide with him in his peace. And so may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Share with one another a sign of that peace. I thought, as if that might have been the first time you...
No.
As we're standing, we'll sing our third hymn, which is hymn number 127, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken. This morning we will use Eucharistic Prayer 1 on page 5. Eucharistic Prayer 1. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We sit on kneel for our prayer. It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy, at all times and in all places, to give you thanks and praise. Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. for he is your living word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself, made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom, and with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit. Inspire us with your love and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. We continue on page 17 by saying together the prayer which Jesus himself taught us, as we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy upon us. Jesus, bearer of our sins,
have mercy upon us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith, with thanksgiving. The body of Christ, broken for you. The body of Christ, broken for you.
Blood of Christ, shed for you.
The body of Christ, broken for you. The body of Christ, broken for you. The body of Christ, broken for you. The body of Christ, broken for you. The body of Christ, broken for you. The body of Christ, broken for you. The body of Christ, broken for you. The body of Christ, broken for you. The body of Christ, broken for you. The body of Christ, broken for you. The body of Christ, broken for you. The body of Christ, broken for you. Continue at the top of page 18 by saying together the prayer after communion. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink this cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. If you'd like to stand, we'll sing our final hymn, our offertory hymn, 1199, Christ is Made the Sure Foundation.
Thank you.
the end of our service, we go to our homes with this blessing. So may the Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look kindly on you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen.
As we stand, I forgot, thank you, Deborah. We'll sing the first verse of God Save the King.